From SiriusXM's Doctor Radio, this is Coronavirus, everything you need to know now.
From the Rehabilitative Medicine Show, here's Dr. Jonathan Whiteson.
I'm Dr. Jonathan Whiteson. Now, many people who have COVID-19 don't have symptoms. And some of those who don't have symptoms have a very high viral load in their lungs, in their nasal passages. And when they cough or sneeze, they put out millions and millions of viruses when they cough or sneeze. And these people are called super spreaders, as opposed to other people who have COVID-19, don't have so many viruses in their respiratory and nasal passages, and don't spread or fill a room as much as these super spreaders. This study actually was done by a group of Swiss researchers, and they found that those super spreaders, if they wore a mask, they were much less likely to spread a significant amount of virus in a room. And so because we don't know who is and who isn't a super spreader, we sort of have to spread the guidance and advice far and wide and tell everyone to wear a mask, because we don't know who is a super spreader and who is not a super spreader. So this is, again, very important data to show that people who are infected with the virus, who may be asymptomatic but may spread the virus significantly, everyone should be wearing a mask to prevent the spread of that virus. Well, let's talk more about wearing masks, and let's get the guidance and advice from Dr. Chris Beyrer. Good morning, Chris. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm very well, thanks.
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. For our listeners, Dr. Beyrer is the Desmond M. Tutu Professor of Public Health and Human Rights in the Department of Epidemiology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, and is co-author of a study looking at face masks to see how effective they are in preventing people from getting sick. Now, let's just step back a moment, Chris, and talk about what are sort of some of the more common public health measures that have been discussed in terms of preventing the spread of COVID-19. We know mask wearing is one of them, but what are some of the other measures that people should be following to prevent the spread of COVID-19?
Well, of course, as you say, mask wearing is fundamental. The hand washing, of course, has also been important. This is a virus that spreads both through particulates in the air and also on surfaces. In addition to that, of course, you know, there have been many recommendations about the kinds of social distancing that can help reduce spread, keeping gatherings small, and if there are larger groups of people, really outdoors as opposed to indoors. This is very much an indoor virus, and many of the most severe outbreaks have been in closed settings. Initially, of course, nursing homes, cruise ships, prisons, jails, detention centers, and so the outdoor activities, which all of us need also for our mental health, going for walks, being outside, very important for health and well-being, and much safer than gatherings that are inside. This is, of course, one of the reasons why, for example, the Democratic and Republican conventions have been canceled, because large gatherings of people indoors are very efficient for transmission of this virus.
Yeah, so that's great advice. And it's very good to hear as well in reinforcing about some of our behaviors, which I think are guided by our state and federal leaders, but also hopefully by science too, in terms of what we should and shouldn't be doing to try to minimize the spread of COVID-19. I know here in New York, one of the things that I was doing at home with my wife and also continue to do at work is wipe down surfaces. And, you know, we would go food shopping, would come home, and we would have this complex method of wearing gloves and using wipes, disinfectant wipes to wipe food down and packages down before we brought them into the house. Is there still the same emphasis on wiping things down? Do we believe that the virus can survive on surfaces to that degree that we need to wipe things down before we bring them into the house?
Well, there is a lot of variability on surfaces. So some good news is that it does not appear, for example, that absorbent surfaces like most clothing, cardboard, and those kinds of surfaces, the virus does not survive very long on. It's hard, flat surfaces where a particulate can dry. So, for example, a metal, hard plastic, those kinds of surfaces, the virus can survive, at least in assays. We don't know necessarily how infectious, but for up to 72 hours. So it probably is not common. It probably is not a major contributor in the same way that respiratory droplet spread is with, of course, this respiratory virus.
Yes. And, you know, we know that if we touch something that may have virus particles on it, when we touch it with our fingers, that doesn't infect us. It's only when those fingers goes in our nose or our eyes that we then transmit the virus. So if we touch something and then we wash our hands, and frequent hand washing is something that's been discussed, then we eliminate essentially the risk of developing COVID. But as you said, indoors, if someone has coughed or sneezed or is breathing, it's not like you can wave your hand in front of your nose and mouth and waft that air away and avoid the particles. So let's talk more about barriers to breathing in particles or barriers to breathing out particles. The value of a mask, why should we wear a mask? What's the value there in wearing a mask?
Well, first of all, it should be said, and it has been clear now for many months, that where there have been mandated mask wearing, a number of Asian countries that had the experience with the previous SARS, the first SARS outbreak in 2002, 2003, so places like Hong Kong, Taiwan, Singapore, that very quickly moved to mask wearing, of course, had much lower case burdens of COVID infections and many fewer hospitalizations and deaths. So that is what we would call ecological evidence. It's not direct experimental evidence, but there's a strong correlation between mask wearing and much lower rates of transmission. So this is why the U.S. in April put this forward from the CDC, WHO a little bit later, but in June, recommending mask wearing to reduce spread to others. So that is altruism, right? That's compassion. That is wanting not to expose our more vulnerable community members, our seniors, or the folks who may be living with at home. And of course, that is also protecting healthcare workers from these huge numbers, caseloads, and infections, as we saw in New York during that very severe outbreak, or in northern Italy. It's very clear. There's no question, as you mentioned, Dr. Whiteson, about super spreader events, that mask wearing can significantly reduce the likelihood that you transmit to anyone else if you have acquired COVID-19. But our new study that is just out in August, actually, it's just out now, looked at the available data on another aspect of mask wearing. And this is the question about the dose of virus that you may be exposed to if you do have an exposure, and the likelihood that you will have either mild or asymptomatic symptoms, as opposed to getting really sick, getting pneumonia, maybe ending up getting hospitalized, as so many people have done, needing ventilator support, and all the rest of the very dangerous, severe clinical manifestations of COVID-19. So we amassed what evidence there was and looked at this across a variety of disciplines, virological evidence, so evidence from animal studies, epidemiologic evidence from a number of outbreaks where mask wearing was or was not mandated and very fully embraced or not, and of course this ecological data. And all three of these streams of evidence suggest the same thing, which is that the lower the inoculum, the lower the dose of virus that you're exposed to, the more likely you are to have a mild or asymptomatic infection. And on the other hand, the larger dose of virus that you're exposed to, the more likely that you are to get really clinically sick with COVID-19. Now, why does that matter? Well, it matters, of course, because there's a lot of asymptomatic infection with this virus. There's lots of people who are getting infected and transmitting and are not aware of either of those things. We think it's roughly now, there have been about 16 studies that have been pulled together, that about 40% of people are likely to have asymptomatic infection in any given population. So that's a lot. However, it turns out that where mask wearing is really mandated, the proportion of people who have asymptomatic infection goes up significantly. There was a cruise ship in Argentina, as an example. Just about everybody eventually did acquire the infection. But instead of about 40% of people being asymptomatic, they were up above 80% of people being asymptomatic. Well, that is a significantly better outcome.
Yeah, this is very, very interesting, Chris, because I think a lot of the talk to date has been, you know, if I'm infected and I wear a mask, I may prevent the spread of that mask, because if I cough or sneeze or breathe heavily, it's contained within my mask. And that's been the discussion really to date in terms of why we should be wearing masks. Your research and the data that you've been pulling together and some of the epidemiologic data from the cruise ship in Argentina, et cetera, is suggesting something in addition to that, maybe not in addition, something that's side by side and is equally powerful, if not more so. If we wear a mask ourselves to protect ourselves from other people who are infected, we can hopefully prevent ourselves from getting infected, but at the very least, we're going to reduce the viral load, the amount of virus that gets into us. If somebody who is near us is infected, asymptomatic, coughs, sneezes, breathes out, and there's virus particles in the air, if we are wearing a mask and we reduce the number of virus particles that we breathe in, then the severity of our disease is going to be much, much less based on the different dose of virus that we're breathing in, much less when we're wearing our own mask. So we wear a mask to protect others if we're infected, but also the science is now telling us that we protect ourselves from other people who are infected.
That's right. This is actually a theory that has been around a long time. Sometimes theories are around a long time because they hold up.
Yes.
And in this case, this is basically work done early on with influenza, which of course is also a highly infectious respiratory virus, has a much lower case fatality rate than COVID-19. But there are many similarities in transmission dynamics. And so we've known for coming on 100 years that if you have a much lower dose of inoculum, of the amount of virus, that you're less likely to have a serious illness.
That's great to know. It's really important that we know. Chris, this is really, very, very interesting, very, very important news. And, you know, hopefully we'll continue to reinforce to people why they should be wearing a mask to protect others if they're infected, but certainly to protect themselves. And this is backed by science. What is it, do you think, that is blocking people from actually wearing a mask, from being more compliant with this? I'll tell you something from my perspective, and it's been very interesting. And I have seen across Asia many people wearing masks when it's come to sort of either SARS or other kinds of respiratory illnesses. And I ask myself, why? Why are people doing that? Is there any basis or science to it? Well, now I'm learning, but the first time I put on a face mask, I was very self-conscious. I was very uncomfortable. And now I wear it nonstop. But from the perspective of American culture, is it a social issue, a cultural issue? Is it truly a political issue? Are we really at that level, do you know, about human rights, etc., my right to say no? How can we help people see the science, accept the science, overcome whatever discomfort they may have to be more compliant with masks?
Well, I think it's a very important question. And unfortunately, because the United States at this point is by far the most COVID-affected country in the world and has lost the largest number of our fellow countrymen and countrywomen of any country, over 150,000 deaths now, just in these 6 months or so, I think we really have to ask ourselves fundamentally why we have had such a flawed, problematic response. And I know that people tend to look at these things from a cultural perspective or a individualist view, that Americans are more individualistic than others. I think that this squarely has to start at the top. Public health has an incredibly important component of communications, of messaging, of modeling the behaviors we want to see. We did pretty well, it seems, from the historical record in mask wearing in the great influenza pandemic, the Spanish flu of 1918-1919. People adopted mask wearing in public. It was very much endorsed by the health authorities of the day, political leadership of the day. We, I think, lost that opportunity because the messaging early on was so confused and so confusing that scientific voices were not the leading voices all the time. Those factors have really cost us. And now,
yes,
Unfortunately, we are in a politicized situation where people are taking mask wearing somehow as a badge of being on one side or the other of this. And that can't work in a pandemic. We are all in this together. We're all on the same side. Our enemy is the virus, not each other, not our political orientations. And we really need clear public health messaging. This is only going to get more important and more complex, arguably, when we do begin, at least in some areas, to have schools reopen and to have North American flu season kick off,
yes,
where there are going to be a mix of people who also have flu, of course, and have fever and a cough and so forth. So this is not going to go away quickly. We are in the thick of transmission in so many states right now. And I think it's very clear from the science that mask wearing, face coverings are more important than ever. They're going to be very important in the fall. And I do think that the evidence that we've pulled together really consistently supports the idea that wearing a mask reduces your viral load of exposure, reduces your inoculum, and makes it much more likely that you will have an asymptomatic COVID infection. And there's another added benefit to that, which is that if more and more people have asymptomatic infection, we could get to better rates of population immunity before we have a vaccine, while we're waiting for a vaccine. So there's actually, in addition to the individual health benefit, there's also public health benefits.
Yeah, that's a discussion of herd immunity. When enough people in a community have and have had the infection, have a degree of immunity or antibodies against it, the spread rate reduces, the ability of the virus to be transmitted goes down, so we can protect more vulnerable people. And I agree with you, we need to take the politics out of this, and we fully support political perspectives and differences of opinion, and that's the beauty of any country and any society. But as you said, the enemy is the virus, not each other, and we need to fight the virus. And one of the best ways we can do that is to wear a mask, because a mask prevents the spread of the virus from us to others if we have it, or from others to us if we don't have it, or reduces the viral load. So we need to overcome whatever social, cultural, political issues are sticking in our souls and our minds and our decision-making, overcome that and share a common theme, which is we all breathe the same air. Let's make sure that it's filtered as much as possible by wearing a face mask. I have another question for you, and sadly, we're going to run out of time. This is such an interesting conversation. I very much value, Chris, your guidance and advice. It's so very important. But, you know, I take this analogy from the sports world, and I look at, injuries in sports and the way that athletes have become stronger and bigger and faster. And they, you know, for instance, in American football, they hit each other harder. And so we've improved the equipment, made the equipment more resilient and heavier, etc. But we still seem, despite better equipment, besides better protection, we still seem to have people hitting each other harder still and getting injured still. So, you know, I wonder whether protective equipment provides some degree of a false sense of security and leads to risk-taking. Is there any evidence that wearing a mask leads to that similar sense of invulnerability, a false sense of security, leading people to do more risky behaviors? They wear a mask and yet they do something which may put themselves at risk. Do we have that sense that mask wearing is any way detrimental in terms of behavior?
I don't know that there's any hard evidence for that. I think, you know, what you see, certainly from countries that have been able to widely adopt this, is that mask wearing makes many activities, like, for example, using public transportation, much safer than it would be otherwise. But if it's inconsistent, and if there are many people mixing in a population who are not using face coverings, it really puts everybody else at risk. So you have to reach, and I think there's been a number of modeling studies that have tried to do this, to get at what is the level of consistent practice mask wearing, social distancing that's required to contain spread of this virus. And as we've seen, the U.S., I'm sorry to say, is failing on this front. So whatever the motivations are that have people not wanting to do this in public and in shared spaces, it's harmful. There's no question about that. The evidence for that is very clear.
Get facts, not fear, from SiriusXM's Doctor Radio, presented by the leading experts from NYU Langone Health. To learn more about Doctor Radio, including shows and schedules, go to SiriusXM.com/Doctor Radio.